Hi everyone, today's parak of Rambam is the 12th chapter of Hilchos Truma. In this parak, the Rambam will detail the laws of properly protecting Truma. Halacha Aleph. Also the Tame as a Truma shall Eretz Yisrael, Kishara Kachim, Velovi en Alidei Tuma, Velevsi Dena, El Ochel Torah Uman Lekatmea. It is forbidden to make impure Truma from the land of Israel, just as is true with regards to anything which is sanctified. It's forbidden to make it become impure or to make it be lost in any fashion. Rather, one should consume that which is pure and use as fuel that which is impure. However, in contrast, with regards to Truma from outside of the land of Israel, that it is permitted to make impure even on a biblical level. This is even though it is only currently impure from the fact that it's been outside of the land of Israel, which is only impure on a rabbinic level. Nonetheless, it is permitted to make them become impure on a biblical level because, fundamentally, Truma from outside the land of Israel is itself only rabbinic in nature. The fikach, nita kot lachal b'chot l'aretz she'en mus'heres el l'achla, lo ligaba, kemo shebiranu. Therefore, a woman who is a menstruant is allowed to separate chala from outside of the land of Israel, and that's because she's not prohibited from touching it and making it impure. She's only prohibited from eating it. Halacha Beis. Truma shenit meis b'safek. Lo ochlim, lo sarfin, elatia munachas ashetit matumah v'adas v'tidari. If there's a case of uncertainty whether truma has become impure, it shouldn't be consumed, nor should be burned. Rather, it should be left until it becomes certainly impure, and then it should be burned. V'yesham sveko shesarfin aleim as truma, kumo shesbar, minin tumah v'tar. And there are certain situations, in a case of doubt, where we do burn the truma, as I will explain later in Mishnah Torah. Halacha Gimel. If there's a jug of wine which has become potentially impure, then in that case one shouldn't do anything with it. He shouldn't move it, he shouldn't have it revealed. Rather, he should leave it as it is until it becomes certainly impure and then have it burned. And you don't have to be concerned that maybe it's going to come to be eaten. If a jug of wine that has truma inside of it is broken in an upper vat, and now it is spilling down towards a lower vat, which has regular wine, that is impure. If he's able to save one revius worth of the wine, or more, while still maintaining its state of purity, so then he should do so. If he cannot, however, then he's able to rescue it with his hands, and even though he hasn't washed his hands, and even though that means, therefore, that he will make it impure, as Rambam will explain elsewhere. Halacha hei. B'meta Ramurim, when is that true? B'chavah shel yayin, hu shiyeh b'gan ha'tachtona pachot me'a sharei yidam ha'kol b'yipasam. This is true with regards to a jug of wine, and the lower vat contains less than 100 times the amount that was falling in. Because in that case, the truma wine is going to mix with the regular wine, and then everything is going to become forbidden for a non-kohen to eat. Aval im haya b'tachtona mea, b'zu ha'chavis, sha'arei hi ola b'achas u'mea, o she'es ha'chavis shel shemen, teri b'titama b'ayit mena b'yadav. If, however, the lower one did have 100 times the amount of this jug which was falling into it, and therefore it will become nullified in that mixture, or if the jug had oil in it, then in that case, he should allow it to go down and become impure, and he should not make it impure actively with his hands. Why? Because ultimately, everything will be fit for being used as fuel, and there won't be a great loss. Similarly, with regards to a jug of oil that had broken, if he's able to rescue a revius's worth, while still maintaining its state of purity, so then he should do so. If not, then he can rescue it even though he'll make it impure. Why? Since the jug has already broken, he's not prohibited from rescuing it in a state where he'll make it impure because of the fact that he's so confounded by the potential loss of so much money. Halacha Vav. If somebody was passing from one place to another and he had in his hands some loaves of bread of truma, Amar lo hanachri. And then along comes some non-Jew and dastardly says to him, give me one of those loaves, and if not, then I will touch all of them and make them impure. So what should the Jew do in that case? Then he should place one of them on a rock, and not place it directly into the hand of the non-Jew, so that way he won't directly cause the truma to become impure. With regards to various types of herbs of truma, since they aren't fit for human consumption, they're really animal food, then in that case it's permitted to do all of their dealings in a state of impurity. He's not prohibited from making them impure, except at a time when they are being soaked in water. Because if he soaks them in a state of impurity, then he's directly made them impure with his hands. But after they've been soaked, he's not prohibited. Not at the time when he's crushing them, nor at the time when he's feeding them to an animal. Lavika, knows the truma still some karchin the coin amart. Therefore, one is able to give truma from these items to a coin who is not careful with regards to ritual impurity. Lachachas. Emaf kidim truma etol coin amart. Neshalibu gaspa lachla. One should not deposit truma by a kohen who is not careful with regards to impurity, because he's going to be very lackadaisical regarding it, and he'll come to eat it. However, one is able to deposit by a regular member of Klal Yisrael who is not careful with regards to the rules of ritual impurity, as long as it was placed in an earthenware vessel which was sealed shut. And also as long as the items within have not been made fit to become ritually impure. Because that's due to a decree that we're concerned that maybe his wife, who's menstruant, might cause it to move, at which point it can become impure still. The point being, though, a non-Kohen won't be as lackadaisical regarding it, and therefore you don't have any concern that he might take it out and eat it. Halacha tes. Ein osin lam aretz trumazesa v'tara. If somebody who is not careful with regards to ritual impurity had already crushed his olives, and now wanted somebody who was careful to separate the truma on his behalf, so that way he'll do it properly, the person who's careful should not do so, because there's concern that people will rely on his reputation and assume that this truma is actually pure, when really, in reality, we have to assume it's impure. However, a special leniency for the sake of the livelihood of the one who would be dealing with these olives was given, that if he's doing the entire process, he's the one crushing the olives, and then separating the truma, then he's allowed to. The ketzav osa, what should the procedure be? Noto kdeha truma, umanicha b'kli she'inu makabal tuma, kagun kli avanim, ukushiyava ama aretz lito achul about truma, omrum lo hizar shema tiga ba truma, shlo tachzor le templo. The one who is careful should separate the truma properly, and then place it in a vessel which is not able to become impure, such as a stone vessel. And then, when the person who's not careful with regards to ritual impurity will come to take that which is mundane, as well as that which is sanctified, the truma, so then the one who is dealing with it should say to him, he should warn him, that he should be careful not to touch the truma, so that way it shouldn't go back to the state of being untithed, that it should go back to being tevel. Halacha yud. Yisrael she'osa peirosa b'tuma. Ein bo treniva. If somebody who is a non-kohen is producing his fruit in a state of impurity, so then one should not help harvest with him. It goes without saying that one should not help trample the produce with him because of the fact that he's causing that truma to become impure. However, one could help him bring barrels to and from the vat where he's going to do these things. If olives or grapes have become impure, one can squeeze out their juice from them and make that truma. If they become impure after they've already been made truma, when they were squeezed out, each drop being less than an egg-sized bulk, in that case, the liquid which comes from them is permitted to be drinking by the kohanim. And in fact, it could even be used as libations on the mizbeach. Why? Because we view the liquid inside of these fruits, grapes, the olives, as being deposited within them, not as mixed within their flesh. And the decree was that they should always do less than a kibetza's worth, even though technically an exact kibetza would not be able to make things become impure. But nonetheless, there was a concern that if they allowed a kibetza size, then people would do more than a kibetza, and then it would end up becoming impure at that size. And if these fruits were already just a third item in terms of the levels of becoming impure. There was the actual avatama, the initial item, that touched the rishon, and the rishon touched the sheni, now these were the shlishi. In that case, they can be trampled in the vet and in the pressing place, just as the regular case of olives or grapes would be, and the truma that comes forth is pure. Shein shlishi osa ravi b'truma kamo shesbar b'in taros. Because an item which is the third level, a shlishi, is not able to make truma be a ravi and thereby ruin it, as will be explained in its proper place. Halacha yud beis. Pas truma shen beis. Mashlich lebein ha'etim ache sirvena. If bread which was truma became impure, it should be thrown amongst the firewood until it gets burned. Similarly, with regards to oil that have become impure, it should be placed in a gross vessel until it's been lit, in order so that others not come to make a mistake with it and consume it. Similarly, with regards to wheat which had become impure, they should be soaked and placed in a gross vessel as well, in order so that it should not be fit for eating. Then afterwards, he can use it to stoke his furnace, his oven. With regards to items that are not fit for being burned, and they become impure, such as wine, in that case, they should be buried. If wine, which was truma, had become revealed, in the sense that it was left uncovered, then since it's forbidden to be eaten, because there's a concern of danger, then it should be spilled out. And so too with a whole variety of different fruits, whether we're dealing with figs or grapes or gourds or squash or types of melon or cucumbers that were truma, that were found to have little punctures in them, which were concerned had come from a snake and therefore there was a danger for one's life, they are forbidden to be eaten and therefore they should be removed, they should be destroyed. What should one do with these particular items? They should be thrown into the sea or buried. If dough was kneaded with water that was left uncovered, again, there's a concern for items that were left uncovered, then in that case, they should be burned even though they are truma. It is forbidden for a kohen to take truma or any of the other gifts which are given to him until they've been separated from the owner. The pasuk says, the first the produce that they'll give to Hashem, I've given to you, and that the Bnei Yisrael will offer up to Hashem, these are given to you, and that all implies that the Bnei Yisrael should first separate it, they should first offer it up, and that's when the Kohanim can take it. Furthermore, a Kohen should not take them even after they've been separated, unless there's the consent of the owner. Because after all, they belong to the owner in the sense that they can give it to whichever Kohen they wish. Shneimar's plus success, ish es kodeshav, lo yu. And for each man, his sanctified items will belong to him in the sense that he can choose to whom to give it to. However, that being stated, if a coin does take it without the consent of the owner, he does indeed acquire them, because the owners don't truly have ownership in them. All they have is the right to choose to whom to give it to, and that right is not considered a monetary asset. Halakha Tezayin. If truma was given to a coin and he found other items there with it, it's forbidden to take them, because this is like theft, because maybe other people place them in the truma to then afterwards take them. A regular member of Klal Yisrael is not obligated to deal with the truma, to bring it in from the granary to the city and from out in the wilderness to the civilized areas. Rather, it's upon the Kohanim to go out to these granaries, and that is where the non-Kohen will give them their share. And if the Kohanim don't come out to the granaries, so that the regular member of Klal Yisrael can separate it and leave it there in the granary. If, however, it's a place where animals might come and eat it, it's not going to be considered guarded there. Chazal instituted that the owner, the non-Kohen, should be involved, they should deal with it, bring it into the city, and then ultimately he'll be able to take wages for that which he's done for bringing it on behalf of the Kohen. Because if he were to separate it and then leave it out there for the animals to eat, then it would be a desecration of God's name. It's forbidden for Kohanim or Levim to assist in the processes in the granaries in order so that they can take their gifts. Anybody who does assist in this process has desecrated the sanctity of God's name. About them, the Pasuk says, Shechatem bris ha-Levi. They have defiled this covenant that was made with the Levim. It's also forbidden for a regular member of Klal Yisrael to allow the Kohen or the Levi to assist him. Rather, he should give them their portion in an honorable fashion. Halacha Yud Tes. Nasan Trim of the Kohen, Amanas Lachlira, Yatzi Dei Yitzina. V'asuk Lasos Kein, V'nei Shenimsa, K'maseya B'vesa Granos. If a regular member of Klal Yisrael gave his Trim to a Kohen on the condition that he give it back to him, in that case, he's fulfilled the obligation to give it, because ultimately, that counts as giving. However, it's forbidden to do this, because then the Kohen involved is like one of the ones just mentioned who is assisting in the granaries. And furthermore, it's forbidden for the Kohen or Levim to grab the Trumas and the Meister. It is also forbidden for them to even ask for it. They shouldn't enunciate it. Rather, they should take it in an honorable fashion. Why? Because ultimately, the Kohen, the Levi, they are consuming from the table of Hashem. That's where they're eating it from. That's where they're drinking it. And these are gifts which are really to Hashem, and Hashem is the one who's giving it to them. Therefore, they shouldn't act in an undignified fashion, grabbing and begging for it. Rather, they should receive it in an honorable, royal fashion. As the Pasuk states, Hashem says that, Behold, I've given it to you, the safeguard of my truma. Halacha Chaf. Lo yitin adam truma l'shomer gito. Lo b'chor l'shomer edro. Lo matanos l'royo b'mto. V'im nasan chilo. El imkein nasan lehem schar shmirasan tchilo. A person shouldn't give truma to the one who's watching his bed, nor should he give the b'chor, the firstborn animal, to the watchman of his sheep. Nor should he give the presents which are given when an animal is slaughtered to the one who is the shepherd of his animals. And if he did give it in this case, he's desecrated their honor, unless he had first paid them for watching it first. However, all this being said, one regular member of Klal Yisrael is allowed to tell another regular member of Klal Yisrael, here's a coin, and you should give truma, or a firstborn animal, or the other gifts which are given to the Kohanim, to a particular Kohen, who's the son-in-law, or the brother-in-law, or any other similar situation of this fellow. Halacha Chaf Aleph. When is that true? K'shehu ha-bailam rotzim li'tein osam le'echa v'shnei Kohanim elu, o le'echa v'shnei levim elu b'chinam, amar lo chaver, he'lecha v'tein lezeh. That is true when the owner already wanted to give these gifts to one of two Kohanim, or to one of two Levium, and he was going to do so for free. And then his friend said, here, take this and give it to this specific one. If, however, the owner had said to a Kohen or a Levi, here is your portion of Truma or the like, and now I want you to give something in exchange for the fact that I chose to give it to you, and I could have given it to anybody else, that's forbidden. In similar fashion, it's forbidden to sell truma as regular merchandise, as regular wares, even though he buys it from a coin and sells it to a coin. There are 10 people to whom we don't give a portion to of truma out in the granaries, even though they are allowed to consume truma, and they are allowed to allow others to have the truma as well. Now these are the 10 people. Hacheresh, somebody who's a deaf mute. Vashota, somebody who's not mentally competent. Vakatan, she'emo das, lefirosh chuko. And a Kohen who is a small child, doesn't know how to raise up his hands to do tochanin. V'nei she'ein ve'elu das, because these ones don't have a proper understanding. Vatumtum vandragnas, v'nei she'ein b'riya b'fnei atzma. And also people who don't have a clear sign of gender, either it's sealed off or they have both sides of gender, because they are considered a unique type of creature. And with regards to a slave, why not? Because there's a concern that people who are passing by will see him and they'll assume that he's a Kohen, and that's not the case. And somebody who is uncircumcised and somebody who is impure, and that's because they are considered to be disgusting. Va'isha shemet tisgarish b'mnei ha'yichud, and not to a woman, because we're concerned that maybe she will get divorced. And in addition, because of the fact that she'll potentially come into seclusion with somebody out there in the granary. Anosa isha she'ena hogenes lo, and in addition, somebody who's married a woman who is not fit for him. So then, in that case, since he's done something which is forbidden, then they penalized him that he should not receive his portion out of the granary until he divorces her. However, to all of these people, it's able to be sent to their homes and to be distributed just as is true with all other special items which are dependent on the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Chot menanosa isha she'ina hogenes lo, v'atamei v'arel, except for three. Somebody who married a woman which was not fit to marry, and somebody who's impure, and somebody who is uncircumcised, shame shalom klal. To them, we don't send at all. Have a wonderful day.